Hey.
Mostly because like I know it's just gonna be busy. Like there's not it's not gonna be worth trying to get that in there.
I mean, we could. It's just we'd really have to plan. That's all.
I mean it's next week and then Christmas Eve and then New Year or then Christmas and then New Year's. So yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm
Yeah.
good.
Okay.
I'll take that
I
extra
get
one
it.
week off. Maybe New
I
Year's.
understand.
Might come back on New Year's. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Depends on what the hell happens, because I may end up having to go up to my mother-in-law's. But anyway, welcome everybody to an early-ish, we'll call it that. Early-ish
The
last episode, the
lunchtime
lunch,
version.
there you go. The lunch version of the last episode of the year for us. Yeah. So, as you can see, I've changed my layout. I'm now in the room where all my comics are, because my wife now works somewhere else, not at home, and I've commandeered her desk.
I see you're wearing the Steelers Christmas hat. If I'd
Hell
known that,
yeah.
I would have brought mine too. I have mine at home.
Well,
As you
I
can see,
saw it.
I'm at work,
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I saw it on my way in, and I was like, on my way into this room, and I was like, yeah, I should probably just grab that. It'll be a little festive. So, but yeah, unfortunately, we had to move the show up a little bit early because I got asked to help the Star Wars guys, the 501st, do the Penguins game tonight. So I will be at the Pens game, and I have to be there in the afternoon. So that is why we're doing this a little early. So. Yeah. So first, I want to thank everybody who came and donated to Toys for Tots, because that's
Yeah.
awesome. We grabbed a lot of stuff.
Especially this year where it's harder than it's been in a long time.
Right.
I actually, well, I just gave to our local food bank a little bit of extra stuff that we had that me and my wife couldn't use. It's like I might as well someone use this food
Right.
for the holidays, so but
So, but yeah, I mean, I'm just glad we could help out some underprivileged kids. Thanks to everybody again. Thanks to Corinthian Lodge number 573 of Pennsylvania Masons for putting that together, and in works with the U.S. Marine Corps. We really appreciate that too, and we always like to support our vets. And just the Marines in general. So before we get into comics and then the year in review, so I just watched the Supergirl trailer, and before everybody gets all freaking weirded out about it, I will just say, like, I don't think the CGI is 100% done, so calm down.
The thing about these teaser trailers is now they're releasing them without even polishing them now,
Yeah, I know.
which I don't understand. If you're going to do that, put a warning or something like, or do a thing in front going, hey, be warned that this is not the finished product. I think that would go a long way into subduing some of these trolls that just lose their minds over the littlest imperfection
What?
of
They don't lose
whatever's
their
going on.
minds. What are you talking
Oh,
about?
we know better than
She-Hulk? No. Come
that.
on.
Regular Hulk.
Regular Hulk? Yeah. Pretty much like any movie that's come out in the last like 6 years. Yeah, but I mean the teaser story looked pretty good. Just listen to it. Don't watch it. Just listen to it.
Yeah,
Because
but
God knows it'll look better when it's done. So.
they're releasing all the new stuff for next year. Was saw the boys stuff. The boys looks very, very interesting. I can't wait to see what this last season is going to be because it is the official last season. They're not doing the boys' main is going to be done, but they said they're going to do spin-offs.
Yeah, like Gen V is going to stick around, I think, for at least
Yeah.
another season.
They're going to do a Soldier Boy prequel.
Oh, that's
So
cool.
yeah, so that'll be good because I enjoy what's his name from Supernatural being Soldier Boy. He's funny.
He is. Yeah. I wasn't a big Supernatural fan, but man, is he pretty funny. Yeah.
Yeah, he's grown on me as an actor where I can respect it, even though I'm not, like you said, I'm not a big Supernatural guy myself, but I respect him. Well, he's voiced Batman. He's voiced no, he's voiced Red Hood. He was in that DC animated series. He loves comic book stuff, so I can respect that, and I'm down with it. Should I mention some of the last minute celebrities that have died this month
If
so
you
far?
really want to, go for
Well, I feel like this hurts a little bit on the millennials era here, and some of us like Xennials. I consider myself Xennial.
Yeah, me too.
Jeff Garcia passed away. For those who don't know him, he was the voice actor of Sheen in the Jimmy Neutron cartoon. He passed away. So
Bummer.
I guess that happened yesterday. So he passed away yesterday, age 50.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
hurt a little bit. Also, a fellow voice actor, Jimmy Ward, who did Fairly Odd Parents and Ratchet and Clank voiceovers.
Yeah. I think he was at Sci-Fi Valley not too long ago, if I remember.
Yeah, no. Apparently, if you got his signature on Sci-Fi Valley, he passed away this month as well. And this one probably hurts the most because I am a Mortal Kombat fan. Kerry Taganawa, who played Shang Tsung, he passed away. He had a stroke last week.
That was like right after the show wrapped up last week, 'cause you sent me that like right after that, yeah.
I saw that and I think I even messaged you. I'm like, oh,
Right.
and he was 75. But still, he was still doing Mortal Kombat voiceovers for the video game. I think they were trying to, he was included in the new Mortal Kombat stuff too, if I'm mistaken.
Right.
So that hurts a little bit more because he was definitely, I thought he was the perfect Shang Tsung.
Yeah, I thought he did really well.
Yeah, he was definitely. His voice always rings my head, especially if you're playing Mortal Kombat. It has begun in the first movie, so that kind of that's a bit of a sad note there. Yeah, those were the three that caught my eye there as far as pop culture relevance.
All good. Sorry, Lucy was barking at a dog down the street, and I was like, I'm just gonna pick you up to shut you up. So, look, Lucy, say hi to Justin. Say hi to all the people watching.
Oh my.
Hi, fans of the show. All right, go down with your brother. Don't bark. Be good. All right. I guess now we can watch or talk about some comics. Or do we want to do the year in review first, or do we want to do these comics first? Because I don't really have a lot for the year in review, to be honest. I have like maybe three books that I thought were really great this year, and that was about it.
I was gonna say I'm gonna say I have about three, maybe
Okay.
four.
Let's just talk about that first, real quick, get it out of the way.
Okay.
So my first book is Absolute Green Lantern. That book has been really good, as you can tell because I keep reviewing it. but I thought it was a cool change of the mythos with some art that didn't go too extreme, And I really just loved overall just how it vibed out. I really like it.
I was going to say, I think a lot of the Absolute Universe, you can't really go wrong with any of them, to be honest.
Right.
They're all doing pretty well across the board. Like,
Right.
even like you said, I know you're a Green Lantern fan. I know that that's gotten big. I know the Martian Manhunter's got rave reviews. I've never read either one, but I will take it under advisement of
Yeah, I
maybe
only read the
reading something
first Martian
different.
Manhunter. I'm not a big fan. I just don't like the character that much, so I didn't care as much.
Yeah, but from the people that I kind of keep watch out with
Right.
over YouTube and everything like that, they're like they like how different it is, how spectacular, how even the character itself, it's almost very like you're on an acid trip, like a controlled acid trip type thing,
Yeah.
which, that's I'm me with mine. I guess I would have to go with the Absolute Batman. I know it's low hanging fruit at this point, but
Well, I think it also technically started last year.
it did. It did.
So.
But I think it's really hit its stride this year. Like last year, it hit what? Just at the end of the year?
Yeah, it was like probably like this time last year or maybe
Last year.
October.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say, like, I would give that the grace of going into the next year as still one of the, like, I'm not bored with it. I'm not,
Right.
there hasn't been a lull. Every episode we're getting these more spectacular villains and changes that we would never think of, including
Right.
this week's, which I will review that later. But
Right.
that's definitely like up there with me, one of my three.
I would put Pop Kill up there pretty high. The Jimmy Palmiotti book. It's just a lot of fun and it's very ridiculous. And if you missed it, the original one, they did a reprint of it this week. So yeah. So check it out. It's kind of a fun ride if you're into corporate espionage and
Yeah.
just ridiculousness. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, that's. I will have to go with the ultimate Wolverine.
Saw that. I actually thought that was going to be your first one,
Well,
but.
the two books that I've read the most year, like this year, besides regular Incredible Hulk, were these two books,
Right.
and it's. I just love like. It's definitely a Wolverine book, no doubt, but even the slight changes, you just kind of, you're like, huh. Like, especially finding out what's happened to the rest of the X-Men. Where are they in this Ultimate Universe? And then as time has gone on through this year, you saw, well, they're here. This is what's left of them. They're using them in experiments, they're doing this with them. And I find that just as fascinating as Wolverine being the Winter Soldier, Sabretooth being his best friend, the little things like that. It's 2025 has definitely been that year of whatever you think the norm is for whatever universe you're reading in Marvel and DC. The ultimate and the absolute universes just flip it on its head.
I
And
would even say the same for the DC All In stuff, has really cranked it up a little bit.
yeah.
All right. My last book is Fantastic Four by Ryan North. I started reading that book with issue one, not reading the volume before that much. And I've really enjoyed it, and I think he really him and was it Botchlo? No. Him and Ramos are on that book, and it's just killer. Just killer. Art, story, everything. They really capture the vibe of the Fantastic Four. It's a good time.
And I'll go with my indie pick here. For the I'm gonna go with the Shadow Man, the new stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's I'm enjoying it. Like Valiant's really kind of brought it this year. I also have enjoyed a lot of the Mad Cave stuff with
Yeah,
there are
same.
so many of the
Speed Racer
Phantom.
is very just under that. It's probably number four for me. So.
Like the Blue Falcon,
Yeah.
Phantom. It's I love seeing these old school legacy characters
Properties, yeah.
brought back. And done right too. You're bringing them into the modern age without losing the essence of what they are. And I appreciate that a lot. Especially as I've gotten older, definitely, not stuck on just certain things, but I'm glad it's expanding my repertoire as far as reading goes, because it used to be just Marvel and DC, and now this year, especially this year, I've definitely read a lot more of the indie books.
Right. Cool. All right. Well, there are a ton more books that came out this year that we just don't have time to talk about, but
It's there's a lot.
it was a
There's a
really
lot of
good year
good.
for comics, I'll tell you that. It was a
Yeah.
good year for comics.
There was a lot of
So
good. There was some bad. There were some stinkers. But there are every year. So it's,
yeah.
and again, whatever you and I may like or not like, that's someone else. That maybe their treasure trove, and they think Marvel and DC are
100%.
garbage. It's.
Yeah. And that's the best part about fandom. You can do that. Like if you guys haven't listened to Yin's Ready to Count 'em Down. Dan, Count 'em Dan podcast. I was just on that this week with my buddy Greg Ochaba, and we ranked all of the Kiss records from there's like
I saw
33 of
them.
them, right? And we did our own thing. Like we just kind of went, all right, what's on 33? And we went all the way up to one. And it was interesting to watch, like to talk, like to hear, like where he put stuff, where I put stuff, because a lot of it was very similar, but not. There were a couple like real far outliers. Like Carnival Souls was a very far outlier. Like I really like that album. He doesn't. So it was very cool to see that. And the whole time we're just like, and this is the best part about fandom, you know, like. What you love isn't exactly what I love, and that's why it's cool. The hits are generally, you know, the similar stuff, and that's like that's kind of how comics roll too. It's like, you know, the A team and B teams of Marvel and DC are kind of the mainstays, or even Image now. But the like the outliers can be kind of anywhere, right? And that's kind of awesome the way it works out. So. All right.
You and I did the Aussie stuff earlier when he
Yeah.
passed too. Our favorite songs, our favorite albums, stuff like that. So,
Yeah, I actually might be going back on to do either Black Sabbath, Ramones, or Led Zeppelin with them. We haven't decided which one.
well, if you're
Led
doing
Zeppelin,
Black Sabbath,
I
go ahead
mean,
and invite me too.
I'll see what I
I will
can do
do my
about
two
that.
cents.
But Led Zeppelin might be kind of tricky because it's like they only have like I think 10 albums, if that. I don't even think they have 10. I think it's nine,
They do have,
but
I think they do have at 10, if you're counting like greatest hits albums.
okay, so there's one through four, then
Yes.
there's Houses, Physical Graffiti, Presence, Coda, and the song. I guess if you count the song Remains the Same, yeah. Like there's 10, exactly 10. But you know, but if doing the Ramones, that's like another 30 albums. Sabbath, that's another 20 albums. So I don't know if we're gonna like be like only the Aussie era Sabbath stuff, or only like or all of it together, or You know, because Megadeth's retiring, we might do that. We might do Anthrax when the new one comes
I
out.
was going to say, if you're going to do Megadeth too, I will chime in on that.
I understand 100%. In fact, if I see Greg at the game tonight, I will let him know that you are interested in shotgunning on some of those. So, all right, let's talk comics. So we get this thing rolling for the end of the year. Okay, my first book is Ordained, from Bad Idea, Rob Venditti, Trevor Harrison, Dave Stewart.
We saw this at New York City Comic Con,
Yeah,
right?
there was a preview for it.
Yes. Yes.
So I read the whole book. So it's kind of interesting because, like, it's a priest wakes up, he gets a call, he's got to go do last rites. So he goes, he gets on the train. Guy's an asshole to him on the train, but he gives his seat to, like, an old lady. Gets to the hospital, he finds out the guy that he's got to give last rites to is like a mob boss. And the mob boss confesses everything. You know, he gives him full last rites, or he confesses some stuff, gives him last rites, and then all of a sudden he makes a complete 180 and gets better after the priest gets home, and the one this one cop detective. Rides the elevator with him and is like, "Here's my card. If you ever decide to tell me what he says," he's like, "Well, I can't really do that because it's between him and God, and I'm just the vessel, you know." So you know, we're both recovering Catholics. We understand how that works.
Yeah,
And
it's a very sacred rite,
yeah. He's
and
just the
it's
talk box. Yep.
yeah,
He's the
it's just
walkie-talkie to the Lord.
yeah, and it's also it ranks like your doctors are not allowed to
Talking about
disclose
your medical
your
stuff,
medical. Yeah. And same thing with your lawyers. Your lawyers are not allowed to talk about your case with other people.
yeah. They're the lawyer for God. It's good. So anyway, the mob boss gets better, and he tells his cronies, "Kill the priest," and they're like, "What?" And the one guy's like, "Wicked," and I was like, "That was so ridiculous." So they go and find him in this church. He's blessing a crucifix for somebody. The girl leaves. They come in and they're like, "Come with us." And they pull guns on him, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And this other guy comes to the door, and the one guy spins around and shoots him. The priest flips out, grabs the gun from the other guy, and then they have this awesome fight in the middle of a church where he just like literally beats the shit out of these two guys. So I'm gonna go with this guy's probably ex-military. We're probably gonna find that out, or some kind of secret forces or something. But he's definitely been trained very well, and he just beats these two guys to a freaking pulp in the middle of this church. It's hilarious. And then after they find that out, or after that happens, the mob they cut back to the mob boss. And he finds out that the two guys he sent, are now beat up or killed, and he's like, "Open the phone book, get everybody. Job only pays if the priest is dead." And that's where it ends in the first issue, which I thought was really good. I just really thought this book, I like the art in it too. Like, the art is actually pretty solid. But as someone who is a recovered Catholic, I really appreciated this book as something kind of fun. Because I do know some priests who are kind of badass and could probably do this kind of thing. It would stick up for people. Like this is like the priest that would probably beat the shit out of the kid if he or the dude if he confessed to child molestation or something.
Yeah.
You know, he'd
Hey,
probably be that priest that kicks his ass. So.
reminder that the cover, you don't judge a book by its cover, literally. You can't, because you can be a priest at any age. You don't have to start at a like teenage years and everything. You can be a priest later in life.
Also, just if you guys didn't know, a little fun fact about Catholic priests. Even if they are laicized, they are still allowed to perform sacraments. However, they cannot do them in a public way. So, like, if you had a private wedding that was going to be closed off, you could have them do that. The only thing I think they're still allowed to do in public would be like last rites. Like, if they saw somebody like get shot on the street and someone asked for last rites, they could do it, like right there. But they can't, and they could have like a private mass for like a specific group, but it can't be open to the public. So it's kind of an interesting thing that I found out about that, because a friend of mine is a laicized Catholic priest, and I thought, like, when he told me this, I was like, shut up, no way, like that's not real. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, this is awesome, like that's kind of cool. Anyway, I'm giving this book an 11 out of 12, because like the only thing I didn't like was that it kind of it was a tiny bit slow at the beginning. But I'm very, very interested in what's going on, and I really want to check this book out some more. I know we sold out of it at the Mills because I was there on Tuesday and Wednesday, and there were none left. In fact, I think the company is sold out, to be honest. So,
Here we go. Here's the one that's everybody's been talking about, especially with Jock doing the illustration in this book. We
oh,
got
he did the interior. Oh.
interior. Yeah, and it's easy to see why. Absolute Batman 15. It starts out as Alfred talking to Bruce, asking about him, which means the Joker. And we find out the Joker's name is, hold on, Joe Grimm. Apparently this is like the early eight or late 1880s here. He was a performer. Apparently he was such a good performer that he made a lot of money doing this as a street performer. And he ended up investing and basically making himself a rich man in America, a man, self-made man in America. Gives back to charity, especially with children. And he stays on the down low. Like, he's not, the paperwork and everything says he exists, but he's not like seeking the glamorous life. And the book goes through the entire Jack, well, it's Jack. He calls himself Jack. You do Jack Grimm, the original, Jack Jr., Jack the Third, Jack the Fourth, and Jack the Fifth. Each one adding on to this entertainment industry, getting involved in Hollywood, brought like funding public broadcasting, getting in on the video game scene in the 70s, getting in on the online gaming scene in the early 2000s here. He's basically kind of like the Elon Musk, type here, where he's just almost a trillionaire at this point. And as Alfred describes in this story, and Bruce is like, "Well, what's with him?" He's like, "What do you believe? What is scary about this guy?" And he's like, "That's the thing is, he's too perfect. He's eccentric. He's a classic American success story, but he owns all these islands everywhere." And it shows like as Alfred continues to describe, is like we find out that he played both sides of everything. He thinks that Jack is, there isn't a Jack Jr. or Jack the Third, Jack the Fourth, Jack the Fifth. This is the original Jack from the 1800s that he's a monster somewhere. Don't know if he made some sort of deal with the devil or if it's a scientific stuff. He doesn't know, but he's like, he's always been involved in everything. The war effort in World War II, it's definitely the dark background of everything. And while he's describing this, Jack is on one of these islands and he's hunting what you think is just regular prey, a panther. He kills a panther. Well, next thing you know, we see this old man kind of living on the in one of these islands, and it turns out that he was sent there by Jack, and we see the joke like Jack turn into this giant monstrosity, which, if you're familiar with Jock's art, this is insane. This is the most insane looking Joker we've seen since death metal. Like this, it's gruesome. He literally eats this dude. Like it is out there. But we're getting the sense that we're getting the head-on-head collision here eventually. But the funny thing is, at the end of the book here, you see him pulling in to Gotham again, the Jack, in his fancy car. He has a butler, and the mansion looks similar to Wayne Manor. And he even has a clock that leads down to a cave. So it's literally kind of like Joker is the Bruce Wayne of this, only just the evil version of it. So I am down with this. This is, again, there's a reason why this is going to be one of the greatest runs of Batman of all time, in my opinion. And I'm giving it a 12 out of 12. The fact we're getting this grotesque Joker is awesome. You thought Bane was badass. This is way, way better.
Reminds me of like Clown a bit.
Like a violator?
Yeah,
Yes.
like the Violator, and like I know it's just like I was looking at this cover and I'm like, why does he only have one arm and one leg? And I'm like, oh, it's because it's a Joker card. Because I realized that the other Joker is upside down, and that's why. So it's like an updated Joker card with this Violator Joker on it. So
So I imagine the next coming year is how many people are going to get this new Joker on their blank cover of the Batman comics.
I mean, as long as it doesn't suck, like it doesn't end up sucking, because we only have one issue with them. We'll see how it goes, but it could be awesome, could be terrible. We'll see. It's got Snyder, so I doubt it will suck, but that's just some crazy looking Joker right there. But I dig it.
It
So,
is. Yeah.
all right, my second book is Green Lantern Corps number 11, and this book is kind of interesting. So, Kid Lantern is part of the new Lantern class at OA, and they're trying to basically learn to be Lanterns, so they're like working with Kilowog. This new bad guy is with Fatal, who used to be a Green Lantern way back in the day, and is basically like a world eater, but he's not, like he's a shape-shifting world eater guy. So cut to Mogo and Kelly, who is Jon Stewart's younger sister, turned or in the form of a construct, but is actually an alive construct because she died when she was young. Is on Mogo. She's a Blue Lantern now. She's hanging out, and all of a sudden, Effigy, who's like a old school fire demon-y type bad guy, comes out of nowhere. Also, I think this is the first issue that Morgan Hampton has written, not the other guy, Alex something, or Alan, who I really liked. So we'll see how this keeps going. But anyway, they the core guys are learning how to do a ghost projection of themselves. So basically, like, no, it's basically your soul just as a construct, and you just go and do what you need to with it. And what is her name? Araya? If that's right. Or Aya. Can't quite figure it out because she's kind of robot-ish. In the meantime, Razor and a Yellow Lantern are fighting. So as they're fighting, and then the new guys are running after it, Jon Stewart gets a distress call from Kelly. He goes over to help Kelly. They kind of get this guy off the planet, and cuts back to the new class fighting everybody, and Razor. Is or Aya finally gets her construct to work and flies over to Aya because they're like dating or whatever. And her construct actually flies into him, and they kind of calm it down. And they're all just like, "How did that happen?" He's like, "Well, I guess when your heart's in the right place." But then Jessica Cruz comes out and is like, "Hey, since you guys can't all like stop infighting, we're putting Green Lanterns everywhere to make sure that this doesn't happen." And they're like, "God damn it, what does that mean?" He's like, "Well, unless you get your stuff together, like, we're gonna keep sending guys." He's like, "Okay." So after that, like the fire dude is like just kind of thrown out into space. He actually kills Kelly with his power for a minute, and then she comes back with these giant butterfly wings, which is kind of cool. And then you see the bad guy at the end kill a guy and take over his form. So there's a lot going on in this book. The art's pretty good. It was a little hard to follow at points. But I think it's fun. I think this book is a little more for like the younger guys, especially the guys that watch the animated series, because Aya and Razor are both from that series. So I'm gonna give this book like a 9 out of 12, just because like it was a little jarring storytelling wise, but it did hold up fairly well with the story, and the art was very good for what it was, because it's like borderline animated style art, which is probably why they brought Razor and stuff into it. But it was okay. I didn't quite. It was definitely a setup issue. I really want to see where this is going, so at least give it one more issue. But for the most part, it was kind of just okay.
I've been waiting all year for this, and I'm so happy we're getting this back. We got the Darkness. This is the reboot number one. Basically, it's if you know the Darkness or a fan of the Darkness, it's not much different than the original Origins. You do get to see like his dad, or they. At least the inheritor of the darkness, the before Jackie, because the first page is this man and this woman are getting it on, and you're seeing the in the shadows, stop, stop. You mustn't do this. And then I guess you're seeing this is kind of added on a little bit. I don't remember these followers of the darkness, so to speak. I think that's what they would be. But they come crashing in and they're like, "What have you done?" And he's like, "I created a man better than me." And he just disintegrates, which is really gruesome, right on top of the naked girl.
I see that. I'm following along in my book.
And then we're seeing a little bit of Jackie's childhood, which we never really got in the original, that I can recall. I will have to reread the original Darkness stuff now, sure. But I definitely don't remember this, where he's in an orphanage. He's friends with this girl named Jenny. You see Jackie stand up for Jenny when this guy slap when this bully slaps Jenny in the face. And you get to see where Jackie gets adopted by his uncle here. And then later you see it. Jackie's doing his thing, being a hitman for his uncle, typical mob stuff, like you saw in the original. Him getting it on with some young ladies,
Her name's
some guys,
Shandy.
Shandy. I like how he brushes her off. That's typical. That's definitely Jackie in a nutshell. Like it does not differ too much from his original character, which is nice to see. We get to see Sarah, Witchblade, watching him in the background, because she's a cop and she's, watching the mob. Jenny is still his friend of his. She's a bartender now at one of the most illustrious clubs. And you get to see like this darkness and the Angelus get introduced very, very quickly,
Yeah, I was gonna say
which
that didn't happen in the books for the other books for a
no.
long time.
No, like it years. It took a couple of years before it kicked in. The Angelus look really cool. Like I love that Silvestri still has not lost a beat with his art. Classic Silvestri art. You see this before he changes into the darkness completely, gets attacked by the Angelus soldiers while he has his like these followers sticking up for him. There's like a little battle in his apartment. He does change into the darkness, ends up killing one right off the bat, takes one and just takes a jump off of his high-rise building. They get back into like you see him kind of wake up in the middle of an alleyway, and Jen finds him in the bar. And we find out that both the Angelus, of course, want him to kill him, and these new followers are trying to protect him because they worship him. Or at least that's what it feels like. Well, this Angelus wants to get a blade, which is really messed up. But yeah, it's he starts to get in the know the darkness at the end here, and that is the end of the issue. I am very happy this is back. You know me, this is definitely one of Garth Ennis's best creations, in my opinion. Yeah, I'm glad this back. I'm gonna give this like an 11 out of 12. I'm not gonna give it a 12 out of 12, just because I feel like it was missing a little bit of something, but I just can't put my finger quite on it yet. But I do love the fact that, the darkness is back. I like we get the Angelus right off the bat. You get the Witchblade involvement because, of course, just a fun overall read, especially if you're nostalgic for the Witchblade universe.
Yeah.
Definitely recommend this, guys.
But I thought it was interesting that they didn't bring Garth back in with it, but I like that Silvestri, who's the one of the other original creators, is back with it too. So yeah, I like it. It's good. I'm gonna read it actually when we're done here with the podcast.
I think you're going to enjoy it, John. So.
I was like, oh, I'm not gonna read it because I know Justin's gonna read that. So, because we've both been looking forward to it very, very much.
Yes. Yeah.
All right,
I thought
my
they would have
last.
done it sooner this year, to be honest.
Yeah. My last book is Magic: The Gathering Elsbeth number 2, by Dan Waters and Owen Jeaney. So this one is a little more of what Elsbeth is doing in the underworld, which is basically like, just saving a bunch of souls from like Cerberus and a bunch of other shit, all while she looks for her lover Daxos, and that's kind of spreading through the underworld that she's looking for him, in the meantime. The gods, like, so Heliod and Erebos are writing or are fighting and trying to take control of the underworld, while Clothis, who is the god of fate, is basically giving strings of fate, which is actually her hair, to warriors to go and fight Elsbeth, and kind of get things back on track, while her siblings kind of do random things. So she creates a guy out of fate, to go and fight these guys, her guys with the fate ropes, like, kill a bunch of guys right as they're about to cross back into the realm of the living, and then Kallax comes out at the end, as like the main warrior that she has to fight, and it kind of ends with their fight scene, like in the middle of their fight scene. So I like the premise of this book, but it's not moving fast enough for me at all. Like, this book specifically felt really, really slow. And the art is not 100% to where I would love it to be. I like it, I just don't love it. So I'm gonna give this book like a 7 out of 12. For magic guys, it is a great mythos storytelling thing. It's a lot of fun with that. But for everything else, it's kind of meh. So if you want to check it out, check it out. If not, I mean, it took like almost 2 months for this book to come out, from the first one. So just check it out, I guess, but it's not super crazy awesome. I just wish it moved a little bit faster, that's all.
All right, we got the Infernal Hulk number 2. We last left off where we're starting to see what this new evil Hulk, who is now proclaimed himself as the King of Monsters, as he's separate. Hulk and Banner are now separated. So now this is the what's his name? The I forget what they call him. I'll just call him Infernal Hulk, I guess. We see him hit the beach. He does his clap move, parting the ocean. As he enters the ocean, you know where that means. That means he's coming for Namor, or at least we think he's coming for Namor as the Avengers, or at least Bucky Barnes, Black Widow, and it looks like Laura Kinney Wolverine are warning Namor about this is not the Hulk you know. And Namor is like, well, he was an ally. Well, what's going on? He's like, I have no love for Hulk or Banner, but I'm not going to kill them for you. And he's like, I will take care of my home. You take care of your own. Which is fine. It's Namor being Namor. But we find out that Hulk awakens. My pronunciation's bad for this creature. Nagalith? Ngathil?
I think it would just be Gallus. I think the N is silent.
Yeah. Okay. Galith. The God Eater. Even Namor didn't know exactly who was this was. He's like, I thought you were a story for children. And Hulk refers to him as little brother. They talk back and forth until like he says, Mother is dead. I am the leader. And they're like, well, it is who leads us, she'll be the strongest. And of course, he swallows Infernal Hulk. He's in the stomach here, but Hulk escapes with relatively ease. He just beats the crap out of all the little things in his stomach to the point where he fights his way out of him. Not killing him, but telling him, you will obey me. And I will give you power, and you will take care of anybody in the ocean, and we will do it together. And then, of course, Namor approaches, still thinking this is regular Hulk, and he thinks that he saved Atlantis. And Hulk is like, "No, you just don't interest me. I am not the Hulk you knew." He's like, when you do interest me, you will see me again and it will be your death. So that is the way Infernal Hulk leaves. Meanwhile, we find Banner. Apparently, he is in Indiana. Attending a birthday party. He changed his name to David. And they're watching everything going on in the news. And he's just sitting there, couldn't be happier as regular Bruce Banner. And that is the end. I'm going to give this like a 7 out of 12. Not so much like against the art, because the art's still pretty solid. I just don't know where they're going with this exactly. If we're ever going to get regular Hulk again, or if this is the new Hulk that's just going to be a leader of monsters. I don't know what the plan for Marvel is for this. Hopefully, there is a plan. I'm just not seeing it yet. I don't know if they're going to do like one of their. Hey, we have to get Godzilla to take care of him or something like that. I don't know. But so far, I'm a little underwhelmed. But maybe they're just slow burning this. I have no clue, but
Very
I'll keep.
possible.
I'll give it another like couple of issues before I completely give up and bother reading it. So.
I love that that he used David like he did on the TV show.
So. Yeah, that was pretty spot on there.
Right. All right. So before we roll, hold on. a shout out to our boss Todd McDevitt because it's his birthday today. So I'm not going to tell you how old he is, but I'll tell you it's his birthday. So happy birthday, boss. Hope it's good. Hope it's filled with comics and beer and I don't know whatever else you
want. I was going to say, isn't that the daily occurrence?
Even more comics and beer. I hope he randomly comes across an Action Comics one today. Like that would be. So
he'll message you and he'll be like, "Hey, John, guess what I found?" And it's like,
right,
another first appearance of Batman. That's what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't think he owns a detective, or I don't think he owns an Action. So, yeah. So
yeah.
Anyway, thanks again for watching, guys. Thanks for a great year. We love all you guys. You know, our 175 subscribers. In the new year, we want to try to get that up to 200. So if you know anybody that would, you think would enjoy our show, you know, make sure you push that like, share, subscribe, you know, push us out to a couple other people. It'll be a good time.
Yep.
We promise. You know, and also, shout out to our other comic vendors in the area, our shops. In fact, I was in three of them last week. You know, just visiting and saying hi. So, support your local guys because, you know, we're all in this together. And if you like having us around, you should always support us. We all really appreciate every one of you. And don't feel like you are obligated to shop at every single store because a lot of you do shop at every single store because I've seen you there. It's great. I love that everybody shares the wealth. It's good. Shares the love on that. But thanks again, guys, for a great year. We look forward to next year. Don't forget to grab your Three Rivers tickets. We announced Amy Chu and Joe Pruitt already. A couple more announcements coming up in like about a week, maybe two. Make sure you get those. And we will see you in 2026. Enjoy the holiday. Enjoy Christmas. Enjoy New Year's. Be safe.
Yes.
Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. Just be safe. Be happy. Spend some time with friends and family. And if you happen to be at the Pens game tonight, come say hi to me. I'll be there. I will be out of uniform because I'm just helping out. But I'll be help ushering the stormtroopers and such around. So, come by and say hi if you see me. It's a good time. So, but cool. Thanks again, guys. And we will see you in the new year.